Today's daf is Beitza daf Chaf Beis. I'm sorry, Chaf Dalad. Beitza daf Chaf Dalad, new perek. We left off at the Mishnah, right at the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. The third perek of the Masechta deals very much with halachas of Tzeda, which we're going to start off with, trapping. We'll get into checking on behemoths for Mumin, behemoths that one's going to Shechta Yamdiv, checking it for Mumin, and also the topics of purchasing things Baifin Heter, on Yamdiv, needs for Yamdiv, purchasing them in a way of Heter. Okay, so we start with Seda. Sakta Mishnah. Ain't sudden dugim, min abivrim Yamdiv. We may not catch fish from the fish pond on Yamdiv. Vein nesel fein mezainus. Nor can we put in front of them mezainus. So, what's the problem with sud? Taisus actually learns, we'll jump to Taisus first, because it flows a little simpler. Taisus learns these two dinim are connected to each other. The din of not trapping the fish, Taisus learns, is because of the Yerushalmi that we quoted earlier. Taisus, it's really more of Taisus Shanim, but we quoted earlier back on Daf Gimel, which is that we quoted a couple of days ago, that only from Lisha and on, from the Melacha of Lush and on, was there a heter of Echel Nefesh. Till that point, any Melachas prior to that are not part of the heter of Echel Nefesh. And therefore, trapping is not part of the heter of Echel Nefesh. That's what Taisus learns. And not feeding the animal is really a direct derivative of not being able to trap it. Once I can't trap it, I can't feed it, because if I feed it, I may come to trap it. That is how Taisus learns these two dinim. Rashi learns that the reason why he can't trap it is because it could have been done before Yom Tov. Since it could have been done before Yom Tov, therefore, I can't trap it. On that, the Rishonim Abba, the Taisus on our page, asks, on Rashi, Taisus says, that's a svara. When something's a machshiva yachad nefesh, we say you could have done it before Yom Tov, you didn't. Therefore, you're not allowed to do a Yom Tov by machshivim. But by echel nefesh directly, when you're dealing with the echel nefesh itself, we don't typically find the svara that you could have done it before Yom Tov. We don't find such a svara. And that's why Taisus switches and says the issue is that it's part of the, it's daimit the ktsir, it's daimit the kaitzer. We have to explain where tzad fits into, where taking the fish out of the pond fits into being kaitim lisha, because it's daimit the kaitzer. And therefore, it's no good. That's Taisus. But again, Rashi learns the issue is it could have been done before Yom Tov. That's the reason why one cannot trap on Yantav itself. The Rashi says, why can't you feed it? Separate svar. You can't feed it because they can fend for themselves. They eat the algae. They can find themselves some sustenance within the little fish ponds that they're in. They don't need our help, and therefore, since they don't need help, therefore they can't be fed. The question on this explanation of Rashi, why it can't be fed, is what's the issur? So what? Let's say it could fend for itself. So what's the issur of feeding on Yantav? What concern is there? So Maram, other Chorim asks the question. Maram gives two suggestions. Maram says, perhaps the issue of tikkun, being misakin, the food prior to giving it to the fish. And Echami, just taking food that's ready-made fish food and just pouring it into the fish. The fish tank could be different. That could be mizanesem alecha. That could be that the food is on us and we have a chuyiv to feed the fish in the fish tank. But the point is, fish, let's say in a fish pond, could be even if they can fend for themselves, if the food was prepared, it wouldn't be an issue. The issue is that we're going to prepare the food, and the tikkun of the preparation of the food is the problem. That's one suggestion from the Ram. Or the Ram suggests that the issue is a gezeira onto a tsa. The bivrin more often had a status of a karmelis. They weren't a regular shishyacha, they had a status of a karmelis. Person is going to take food from his shishyachad and throw it into the karmelis. He's going to be over on haitzah derabanan in order to feed the fish, and maybe that's why you can't feed the fish. But again, the Maram, the Mefarshim struggle on really both these parts of Rashi to figure out, first of all, why is there an issue to trap the fish the way Rashi is explaining, because you could have done it for Yantiv. That's typically an issue by Machshirin, not by Echnefesh itself. And why is it an issue to feed the fish? According to Rashi, the issue is because they can fend for themselves. Why does that make an issue? Maram gives two explanations, either else potential haitzah, derabanan, but haitzah, or because of tikkun. Fine. Two more points on this. First of all, on the first machlekes, whether you can't trap. This day you can't trap. Taisus says again because it's k'tamet k'itzer, which is before the malacha of lisha. Therefore, it can't be done. Rashi learns because it could have been done before Yom Tov. So both Rashi and Taisus seem to be saying issues that make it an issur d'oraisa. The malacha, the heter of Echel Nefesh, doesn't apply. According to Taisus, it only applies from Lisha and Eilich. It doesn't apply to malachas prior to that. According to Rashi, it could have been done before. It could have been done before Yom Tov, and therefore you have no heter to do it. Sounds like, at least certainly according to Taisus, and seemingly according to Rashi as well, that it's a deristic issue. Rambam does learn like Rashi, but Itaka explains as a rabbinic issue. Rambam learns like Rashi that the issue is that he could have done it before Yom Tov, but that's not enough to make it an issur d'oraisa. That's just enough to make it d'rabbanan, because the chacham were concerned if we leave everything that could be done before Yom Tov for Yom Tov, you're not going to be Yom Tov. You're going to be busy on Yom Tov doing all the prep that you could have done before Yom Tov. You're just going to leave it because Yom Tov is mutter. It's not like Shabbos is mutter, so you leave everything for Yom Tov. It's going to degrade the the sanctity of Yantav itself, and therefore it's a rabbinic issue according to Rambam. So he goes similar to Rashi. The issue is it could have been done before Yantav, but it's a much different level of concern. According to Rashi, Rashi explaining that's a problem that it should be an Isser Tzeita Daraisa. Rambam saying no, that would be a reason why Tzad would be Usser on Yantav Midurabbanan, because he could have done before Yantav, and we prefer to do everything before Yantav as much as possible. So therefore it's Usser on a rabbinic level. On this idea that Eichel Nefesh is permissible on Yom Tov. So we discussed this earlier. I believe we did. If we didn't, we should have. There's a Ran and really a Ramban even stronger that both explain that we know we have a concept of things that when they're mutter. Let's say big discussion by Tuma Hutra Bezibur or by Achela. So Shabbos is Melachas Shabbos are become mutter in the face of Achela. There's a big discussion over there in both those cases. Is it Hutra or is it Dechuya? Is the tuma dachif in the tzibur? It's pushed aside, or is it mamish hutra? Again, afkin is if it's hutra, much bigger levels of heter, and much the leniencies are much more expansive. If it's mamish mutter, over here the Rambam suggests that by echel nefesh, it would lean towards being a geder of hutra, not just dechuya that you're allowed to. The echel nefesh is deicha the issur malachas. The issur malachas came mutter. The mutter in the face of Eichel Nefesh. The Ramban says even stronger, the Ramban's lesson is that the Torah never asked the first, it's not even a Hutra. Hutra is the Pshat that there's an Isser, and there's an Eter in such and such case. There's no Isser Bechlau. The Isser never took effect. The Isser by Yom Tov, when the Torah tells us that there's Isser of Lamed Tes Melechus and Yom Tov, just like every Shabbos, the Lamed Tes Melechus never applied to Eichel Nefesh, only applied to Stam Melechus Aveda, and never applied to Eichel Nefesh, and therefore it's almost better than a Hutra. It's not even a question of Hutra Techuya, it's not a Hutra. It was never us in the first place. That's what the Ramban learns. That's all point number one. Point number two, on the next part about not feeding the fish. So this really relates to, again, Rashi said the reason is because they're self-sufficient, they don't need us. Tais said the reason is because you make up to trap it, therefore you can't feed it. Anything you can't trap, you can't feed. But this gets to the discussion that we just had a couple weeks ago on Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. So on Rosh Hashanah, it was brought in the Shulchan Aruch, Rama brings that on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, in the afternoon, we go and we do Tashlich. And there's discussion in the Nisa Kalim. There are our quotes that we throw our chatoim. We try to throw our chatoim, so to speak, as it were, into the yam. And the Nisa Kalim being over there, the notion that it should be a yam which has fish in it. It should be a yam which has fish in it. So the simple understanding is that it's yam which has fish, and you take something which is with the minig till today. You take bread. People take something and they throw into the water to the fish. It's like a dugma of throwing that virus to the yam and the fish devouring it. Says the Magen Avraham over there in I forgot which simon exactly was, but in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, he taken su. He says, look at the halachas over here by us by Hilchos Yom Tov by Tzeda by Hilchos Yom Tov. Says Machshaka, what's he referring to? He's referring to the idea that if one's going to do tashlich on Rosh Hashanah itself, like the Ramah suggesting, he should not bring with him bread and feed the fish because there's a problem of feeding fish. There's a problem of feeding fish on Yom Tov, Mamish, our Mishnah, our Halacha, so therefore one could say Tashlich on Yom Tov, but he should not bring with him food to give to the fish during the Seis Meshuvah. Of course, it's permissible. That's perhaps why many people choose to wait till Rosh Hashanah and do it in the Seis Meshuvah if they want to do that minig of feeding the fish, or you could just simply say Tashlich without throwing bread. That also works, and that would be eight how to do it on Yom Tov. Okay, says the Mishnah further. Avol Tzad Nechayev Oif Min HaBivrim. So we cannot trap fish from the fish pond nor feed them. However, you could catch wild animals, chayas, or aphis from the beaverin. Domesticated animals are not on this list because Pasha's domesticated animals are typically mitzvah v'aymid. They're already trapped. You don't have to go and trap them. They're already naturally trapped. They don't run away from you, especially if you picture like a cow, right? They're there waiting for you to take it. It's not considered even trapping at all. But a chaya, wild animal, vaif, you could take them from the enclosures that they were already enclosed in for Yantav because they already were trapped for Yantav, the nice of the Amazonas. And by the same token, you're allowed to feed them. Again, over here, the explanation is because since they're trapped and they're in your domain, the obligation to feed them is on you. If the Mizanesem Aleichem, they don't have the ability to go fend for themselves to get food, and therefore let it feed them. Rabbi Shimon Mil Eimer, like Klal Beaver and Shavim, not all beaver, not all enclosures are the same. What's his guideline? Zach Klal, Kol Hamachusar, top of Chavdal Malav, Tzeda, Aser. If you need to trap it, that's Aser. You might explain what that means. Machusar Tzeda, Veshein Machusar Tzeda, Mutter. That which is missing Tzeda, missing trapping, is Aser. That which is not missing trapping is Mutter. The Rabbis discuss what it means exactly, that if animals are in enclosures already, but they still need Tzeda, they still need to be trapped. What are the guidelines to Rabbi Shimon Gamil is din? Okay.
So just understand this even before we get further. So These do not belong to you, these fish. They're wild fish.
These fish do not belong to you?
These fish in the beach.
Even though these fish belong to you, the Zanasa Melecha is only when they can't sustain themselves. They're able to sustain themselves from whatever junk is in the fish pond. The algae, whatever growths are in the fish pond, that's how they can sustain themselves. Therefore, it's not Zanasa Melecha. Whereas the other animals, when they're trapped and they have no access to food, then you need to feed them because otherwise they don't have food to eat.
And then one last question. The beaver are really, isn't the type of beaver a trap? You're not taking them out of the fish pond.
This beaver are enclosures, fish pond. It really depends. It varies clearly from species to species. By the fish, it's called the fish pond. By other animals, it's more of an enclosure. We'll see more tomorrow. The Gemara's going to describe different types of beaver. It's very clear that the beaver have it can vary in size and description.
Because otherwise, we actually would have to agree to say that if you go with your fishing pole into your pond and you start fishing,
yes,
with the fish,
yes,
that's
yes.
State. Okay,
yeah. Very many. Says Gemara, I asked the Marakasha. Briefin shechayev v'shal. Rashi didn't argue on the tzeda of the fish. Rashi didn't argue. Rashi just said that it could have been done yesterday, if I can do it today. They argued on the reason, not the fact that's an act of tzeda. Okay, says Gemara. Vermini. Briefin shechayev v'shal ifis inside the man beamtiv. We learned this steer in a brisa. It says the beaverin, these enclosures again, of chaya and ifis, you're not allowed to take a man on yantiv. And Rashi, we said you are. Direct sira. Further, ainas fame mazainas. And you're not allowed to give them mezainas. Kasha chaya chay, kasha ifas ifas. We have a kasha on both those points. Our mission said you can feed these chayas and ifas, and you could take them out of the enclosures. Whereas in the Brice we said that by the chayas and ifas, you cannot take them out of the beaver because they're not considered trapped, and you are not allowed to feed them. And says the Gemara, Bishlam chaya chay lekasha chaya chay. We could say it's not shver har b'dar rabbanan. I can differentiate between b'dar rabbanan. The time we learned in a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Shabbos Kufav. Rabbi Da Emer had sod tipul amigda. One traps a bird into like a closet with tzvila bayis or a deer into a house. Chayev, he's chayev for consider for being over on say the for being over on trapping. Make a diak. Or the Mar actually just elaborates at one point. Labayis with mechayev al avalibavirin light. Make a dig on this deer that trapping it into a bias, talach is, the person is going to be chayev. But if you only trapped it into a bivrin, you wouldn't be chayev. That means this chaya in a beaver is not considered trapped, which means on Shabbos you would be ayvar yadiv. There would be a problem to trap it further. That is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. The chamayrim tzipur lemigdal, a bird is considered trapped in a closet. That's the same exact as Rabbi Yehuda. Utzvi legin al chatzel bivrin, but a deer is already considered trapped. Then you put it in the garden or the chatzel, the courtyard or the bivrin. So very clearly you have the chum saying that the Tzvi is considered trapped in a beaver, and Rabbi is saying it's not considered trapped in a beaver. So if we have a brice and a mission, it seems to be at odds. Very simple. Our mission, which is considered the chaya if is trapped in the beaver, is Shitas Chachamim, and the brice, which considered that the chaya is not considered trapped in the beaver, that is Rabbi Yehuda. Says Gemara, so chayu, we have a simple answer. One's Rabbi, one's Rabbanan. El Eifus, Eifus, Kasha. Eifus, we said they both of the same thing. Then what's the Madrega? Trapping into a closet is considered trapped. So they both are the same thing. So who's going to be the author of our mission that says that the Eif and the beaver is trapped, and the Brisa that says the Eif and the beaver is not trapped? Who's going to be, what's the chiluk between the Brisa and the Mishnah? Says Mavchitim, Hachanami, Hanami, Lakasha. Hab beaver, Makaira. Hab beaver, Shane, Makaira. Maybe it's like this. Our Mishnah's Psak, which allows taking the birds, is talking about an enclosure which is roofed in. If it's roofed in, therefore the bird's trapped. And the Brice, which does not allow taking the birds from the beaver, is where it's not roofed in, therefore it's not considered trapped. V'habayis, the beaver karadami. But a house is certainly considered enclosed, and it's similar to a roofed-in enclosure. A house has a roof in it. A house is similar to a roofed-in enclosure. Go back to the Brisa we just quoted. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan said when you trap a tzipor into a closet, it's called trapped. In a house, a bias, clearly that was the distinction in the case that Rabbi Yehuda was bringing. He said the tzvila bias, but the bird into a migdal. Clearly the bird in the house would not be considered trapped. So having a roof is not going to be enough to make it trapped. That can't be the answer. We're dealing with a tzipor drur, which the Gemara explains right away what it is. She'ena mekvelas maris. It doesn't accept the bailus of the master. It dwells in the house as it would in the field. Just like in the field, clearly the bird is free. So in the house, it deals in the house. It acts as if it's totally free. So meaning, so like this, the Mishnah in Shabbos, where Buddha and the Chum both agree that it's considered trapped only in a closet, is talking about a tzipor dror, where only when it's mamish in a confined space is it considered trapped. Anything that's not so confined is not going to be considered trapped because it's still going to jump around. It doesn't accept the bailus of the master. So now we go back to our answer and we say, very good. When we said in our Mishnah that the bird's considered trapped in the beaver, like the Chaya is talking about a beaver that was roofed in. It had a roof, and therefore it's trapped. And the Brice, where we said that the bird is not considered trapped, is talking about a beaver that didn't have a roof. Ah, we asked that you need a closet? Nah, that's just a specific din for a tzipor dror, for this wild bird that really doesn't accept the bailus of the master. Then you need mamish, a small closet. But otherwise, roofed in is considered trapped, and non-roofed in is not considered trapped. Hashtas v'hachis is more. Now that we said this answer without having to get to a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, this answer by birds, we're saying, is only to machlekes Chachamim. They both agree that a bird that's a drawer needs to be trapped in a closet. They both agree that a bird that's not a drawer, if there's a roof and the beaver is trapped, and if there's no roof, it's not trapped. So we have the Chama and Rebuta agreeing, let's go back to Chaya and not make it a machlekes. Chaya, Chaya, Nami, Lekasha, Habi, Beaver, Katan, Habi, Beaver, Gadol. Chaya and Chaya is not going to be fair either. It depends if it's a small beaver, or a small beaver, a small enclosure, or a large enclosure. The Mara now makes three distinctions between a small and large enclosure. Hechidam, Beaver, Katan, Hechidam, Beaver, Gadol. What's between a beaver, Katan, and Beaver, Gadol? The Mara gives three explanations. Amar Rashi, Kalecha, the Rat, Basra, Matle, Bechat, Shia. Anytime when the person can chase the animal and reach it with one lunge, he lunges at the animal one time and he's successful, that's a beaver katan. If it requires more than one lunge, that's already going to be a beaver gadol, a larger closure. Inami, if there's lots of corners that the animal can kind of escape to, can hide, then it's beaver gadol, that's a beaver gadol. Doesn't make a difference how physically big it is. If it's areas that the animal could kind of escape into corners, then it's a beaver gadol. If it could be a huge enclosure, but the walls are very smooth and there's no corners for the animal to run into. If it's a round, large beaver, that's going to be considered beaver katan. Inami, or a third chilek is klecha denafitula dekasi hadadi, wherever the shadows of the walls reach each other, that's a beaver katan. Vita beaver gadol. If the shadows from one wall reach the other wall, that's a beaver katan. If the shadows don't reach each other, that's a beaver gadol. And the first Rashi really brings ready that all three of these apply. So beaver gadol has as all these characteristics. A beaver katan has the opposite, all three characteristics. So getting back to your question, Lizer, on the Mishnah, the word beaver is clearly very general. It's an enclosure, but it can have different shapes and sizes, and depending on the way it's set up, will not make enough clear whether it's considered, at least a chaya, in our discussion over here, whether the chaya is considered trapped inside it, it's trapped inside it or not. One or two quick points on Seda. We'll keep it brief, actually. Two quick points. Number one is that we discussed in Shabbos for a length the Malacha of Haitzah. And we pointed out it's really Gemara over there, which discusses that Haitzah is a Malacha Garua. Haitzah is a Malacha Garua. That's why there's a lot of emphasis on Haitzah, because the main first place we start from the Masechta with Haitzah is emphasis, because the Shenmer explained this, because there would be a Svar to say that Haitzah would not be considered such a one of the regular Malachas, because it's considered Malach Geruah, and therefore Kamash Malach, no, it's a regular Malach. What makes Malach Geruah? Because Haitzah, I'm not making any creative change in the Chafetz. Typically, Malach consists of creative change, not physical labor like the word Malach. More important is the creative change. You're doing something creatively different in the item. Haitzah, I'm simply moving the item from point A to point B. It's just in a different location. The item itself, nothing has changed in the item. The fact that that's a malacha is a little bit of a chiddush. It's a malacha garua, it's a weaker malacha. So some of the other malachas that are thrown into that category of malacha garua, one of them is tzad, seda. Tzad, some of the Rishonim want to say also, would have a status of a malacha garua, because same idea. You're not really doing anything, that a physical change in the animal itself, which animal trapping. You're simply changing its status. Its freedom has changed. But it itself, there's no inherent change in the animal itself, and therefore it will be categorized on the Guruf. Whatever enough greenness there are in that, but that will be considered, perhaps, according to some Rishon Emilis, a Malacha Garua, number one. Number two is, our Gemara goes through a Shach V'Tayrus over here about Seda. We're going to have a little more about it as well. And the rest of this whole is Amidin further down base, but our Gemara doesn't, if I remember correctly, our Gemara is not going to bring up at all the idea of Minai Nitzed. Meaning, one of the criteria of Tzeda is what we've been discussing, how difficult it is to trap, and if it's considered trapped or not yet. Another key factor in the Melacha of Tzad on a derice level, at least, is it has to be something where it's normal to trap from its species. So people trap, let's say, bees for honey, then trapping bees can be a problem. If people don't trap bees for honey, which most regular people in society do not, It's actually a very relevant example now in Sukkos. If most people do not trap bees farni, then it wouldn't be considered something which is dover b'minai nuts. It's not considered something which a species is trapped, because even though some people do, as well, especially yellow jackets, and typically not, most people don't trap these types of bees, and therefore, it's not considered b'minai nuts. And once b'minai nuts, it could be an issue of button of trapping, but something which is not the norm to trap, either for food purposes or for usage, people, or for a pet. Trapping for a pet also is called the reason for trapping it. If it doesn't fit any of those criteria, it's considered something which is not, it's a species not trapped. And if a species is not normally trapped, it would only be nisid derabanan, it wouldn't be nisid deraisa. All right, let's go a little further and we'll speak on a drop of halacha lemaisa. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Aymer, like all beavers, Shavim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the Mishnah, not all beavers are alike. If it's a mechusat seida, then it's a problem trapping on Yantiv. If it's not Mechus HaSeidah, it's not Mechus HaSeidah, then it's okay. Amar Beis Amar Yudah Mishmuel. Halach HaShikom Yel, Halach HaShikom Yel, that an animal that was an enclosure that's already considered trapped, only then you can take the animal, not if it's not considered trapped yet. Amar Baye. Halach B'chal Deplig, you say Halach as if they argue. Tanakam wasn't arguing based on what we just explained. We just explained the difference between the different types of beavers in the Brisa and the beavers in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says you could take from the beavers, the Brisa says you can't, it's because the beaver in the Mishnah are beavers that are already considered trapped. You can only get it one lunge, it doesn't have a place to hide, the wall's not so far apart, so that's considered trapped, and where it's the beaver in the Brisa is considered not trapped. So we basically said that chilik there, and Gamil says, in the Tanakam already. So is there a machlek? Is there Amalei? Might not be lachmina. Says Rebbe Yisrael back to Abaye. What's the difference? I'm telling you, lachasik shikum meal. If Tanakam doesn't argue, matov manayim. It's like Tanakama too. Everyone agrees. I'm telling you, lachasik shikum meal. Amalei. So Abaye says back. Taina. Gemara is martatei. You're making a song and dance out of the Mishnayos. The fact that the Mishnah taught it as separate shitas would seem to indicate that there are differences of opinion in these two, in Rangam Gamliel versus the Tanakama. And by just saying it doesn't bother you that they're saying the same thing, it's like making like a zemer, making like a song, which is an interesting choice of words, because we know that David HaMelech said Zemir said Lechikecha, and he's punished for it. He's punished for calling Zemirs, even though we just had in Parshas Veilach, Va'ata Kisvulchem is a Shira, as I said, it's called a Shira. So the freshman explained what's the chiluk between a Shira and a Zemer, right? The Shira is a combination of, it's a choir more, combination, it's sung usually by a choir, it's a combination of many voices coming together, like there's many different explanations and ideas within Torah, and everyone contributes their own part. That's the reference of Shira, whereas Zemer just seems to be a little bit of a demeaning Lashon Legabe Torah, and that's why David HaMelech was punished. It could be that's why Abaye picked that lushen of the Zmarta. Yeah, you're making it into a Zemer. You're downgrading it by making it just a song without understanding, as opposed to getting to a deeper meaning as to what the distinction between Shigomil and the Tana Kama was. Says the Gemara, Zaklal. The Gemara doesn't give an answer to Abaye's question. Zaklal, Klamuchus Tzeda, whatever is missing Tzeda, what is Shigomil's Klal? If it's missing Tzeda, you can't take it out of the enclosure on Yom Tov. If it's not missing Tzeda, if it's not missing trapping, then you could. Hey, dummy, Muchus Tzeda, what's called missing Tzeda? Amar Beis Amar Vida Mashmuel, Kol Sha'emer Hava Mitzuda Vizdenu. If your instructions when you go to get it is, okay, let's bring the trap and let's get it, that means it still needs to be trapped. By chicken and geese, we say such a shprach, let's bring the trap to trap the birds. Yet we know that even though one shouldn't do lechatila, if one does on Shabbos, he's going to be, it's putter. Now lechaira, the fact that it's putter demonstrates that even though you use the lashon, let's go get the traps, it means it's still considered needs of ayman. So how could you guideline as to what's considered instead of trapping me? Anything you say, let's get the traps, is a problem. We see clearly over here, we have something where we say get the traps, and it's not a regular malach of tzad. I'm Rabbi Avuna, I'm Shmuel. Halalu bayin lekluvan la'erev. Halalu ember lekluvan la'erev. You're right. There's a chiluk between chicken versus the other, between these chickens that we're referencing over here, we're saying putter, and the ones that we're going to derive, we're going to deduce according to Shigul Mil, and the one is obligated for trapping. When we say get a trap, and it's talking about the type of chickens that don't return to the coop in the evening, they hang out outside the coop still. So you're not going to need to trap it, you really still need to trap it, and therefore it's going to be an issur. The chickens that come back to the coop on their own, in the evenings, so even if you go and bring a trap to get them during the day, you don't really have to come trap them. They come back on their own to the chicken coop, and therefore it's considered already nitzav ayman, and therefore it's not considered trapping. But what about the doves of the dove coat and the doves of the attic? They come back to their coop in the evening. If one traps the doves of the dove coat or the attic, or the birds that are in these jars that are on the walls of the beerus of the mansions, chayiv, he's chayim lach of trapping. We see even though these birds return to their coop in the evening, they're still considered an isra of tzeda on these birds. El amra barvuna amra shmuel, halal bon lekluvan, la'erev, Two things. These geese and chicken, they come back to the coop in the evening, and they're dependent on you, on the Baal Bayis, for the food. And therefore, that's not considered trapping, because they're mamish, like they're like behemoths. We spoke about before that a behemoth, right, which relies on you for food, it doesn't run away, it sits, stands there in the house, so it's considered, in wherever it's supposed to be, in the pasture, wherever it's supposed to be, and therefore it's considered a trap. There's no trapping of him, only chaya is the trapping. So too, a bird that comes to coop at night and relies on the Baal Bayis for food, and doesn't get his own food, that's considered really like the behema, and therefore it's trapped. However, you're right, the other ones do come back to the coop at night, but they don't rely on the Baal Bayis for the mezainis. They go and fend for themselves to obtain the mezainis, and that's an indication that they're not really fully domesticated, and therefore it's still considered as if they're being trapped. It's a problem of tzad for those types of birds and geese. Rav Murray Amar, Hani Aviti Levri, Hani Aviti Levri. Rav Murray says a different explanation. The doves that slip away from those that are trying to get them, that's considered trapping. And those that don't slip away are not considered trapping. It's fine on Yantiv. Ask the Gemara, most birds you try to grab it, it kind of moves away from you. Kulanami Aviti Levri, all of them to an extent slip away from those that are trying to get them. Answers the Gemara, Lekluvam Karmina David Levri. We mean to say that those that slip away from the coop, meaning those that when you try to grab them, they just move away from your hands, that's not considered, that still needs to be trapped. It's already considered trapped, it's domesticated, and one would be able to take on Yantiv. Those that try to slip out of the coop when you're trying to get them, they try to actually run away and get out of the coop, that's considered as if when you're taking them, it's trapping again. And therefore, that would be a concern of Tzeda on Yom Tov. So just getting back to the Lamaisa, let's say two cases of Lamaisa. First of all, Yonah Dam right now, the bees in the Sukkah, very relevant, bees in the Sukkah, this year, especially as earlier Sukkahs. So trapping bees, because it's actually major machlekes, just to say it's mutter outright wouldn't be fair. It is a major machlekes, Lamaisa, the Paiskim allowed to be Makel. The reason is, the Chathilah wants you to be putting up bee traps before, which is going to be the next Mishnah, wants you to be putting up bee traps before Yom Tov, have the trap set up and do nothing on Yom Tov, that's the best. But if there's a bee in one Sukkah, a couple things. First of all, most people do not trap bees to keep them as pets or to use them for other usages these days, so it wouldn't be considered necessarily mean and nutsud, which makes it ready to abandon. Second of all, when you're trapping, you're not trapping it to keep it. You're not even not trapping it to keep it, you're trapping it just to get rid of a nuisance. You're trapping it to get rid of a nuisance, which is b'makom a tsar, not stam a nuisance. It's a tsar, it's a derabanan, perhaps a double derabanan, it's makom tsar. Even the trapping, most people when they trap it, don't necessarily trap it. You could sometimes trap it completely. Most people put it between two cups where, in that case, theoretically, it may be possible to get out. They typically don't. They don't get out, but it may be possible to get out. So it's not even full trapping. There's various reasons why we're the place more lenient. Again, to kill it, not on Yom Tov, but to trap it to avoid the tsar. And again, one's doing it only to get rid of it, not to keep it, and it's not a mean and nutsud. So for those reasons, the place can say it's permissible to trap bees and move them out of the sukkah on Yom Tov, but not to kill them. That's bees. Pets that are wont to run for the open door the second you open it is a big problem. Because even if it's a person's domesticated pet, it's at home. I mean, usually a dog may have a din of a chai anyway. But if a person has a dog in his house, when he opens the door, especially until it's trained, the dog runs for the door, that's a big problem. Because when you close the door, you're trapping it. When you close the door, even though it was in your house, when you open the door to say hi to a guest or come into the house, and then you quickly close the door in front of the dog that shouldn't leave, that's a problem of trapping. And the place can bring, Shemesh Shabbos Kol Chazer brings, that the way a person should be noyeg, if he has such a scenario, is he should always be standing in the doorway. Meaning if he opens the door, he should make sure that he's standing there and blocking the dog, so it never got to the point, the dog's in the house, open the door, now the chur is open, free to leave. No, never leave it free to leave. Have a body, someone there in the doorway the whole time, like this, and never was free to leave. And then when you close the door, you're not further trapping it, otherwise it would be a problem of trapping one's own dog on Yom Tov. Interesting nafkamina lamaisa for those who have particularly for those who have young or untrained dogs. Okay, zakti mishnah mitzudas chayev oif v'dagim shasbar v'yantiv. The traps of the wild animals, the fish, the birds, the fish that were set up before Yom Tov. You can't take from Yom Tov. You know why? Because the concern is that maybe the trapping took place in Yom Tov. His act took place for Yom Tov. That's great. But we don't know when the animal got trapped. If the animal got trapped in Yom Tov, that's not going to be good. Unless he knows for sure that the animal was already trapped from Yom Tov. An animal was trapped for Yom Tov, of course, what's the issue? It's not an issue of tzad. You're not doing the tzad. It's a tzad that took place on its own. The issue is more of an issue of mukta. It's mukta because it wasn't prepared. It was a mukta for Yom Tov. So it's an issue more of an issue of mukta. Issue of mukta. There is a discussion in the Mefarshim, if this was a Ushva Mukta, meaning it's Safak Mukhan, it's not clear it's Mukhan on time for Yom Tov, and maybe it was trapped on Yom Tov itself. So the discussion in the Mefarshim, if it's a Safak of Mukta, that's a fancy way of saying a Safak Drabanan. Mukta is a Drabanan. Mukta is a Drabanan. The fact that animals usher if it wasn't trapped before Yom Tov is Drabanan. We're Mesupik if that's the case. You put out the trap, you find it on Yom Tov, the animal's there. You don't know if it's trapped already when Yom Tov started or not. So Safak Drabanan, we should say it's permissible. So why over here is it going to be us? So Taisi Shishanim, early in the Mesechta, learns that Mukta is a Durabanan Chamer, it's Ke'en Daraisa. And Achami, normally it had been another Safak Durabanan, we'd be Makel. But Mukta is a Durabanan, they treat Ke'en Daraisa, it's a Chamer, it's a Durabanan. And therefore, even with Safak, it makes sense to say that it's Aser, that's based on Taisa Shonam of Gimel. The Rashba says it's a Gzeira. That if we allow the person to deal with this Safak Mukta, he may come to even Isteraisa of trapping itself. So anytime you have even a Safik Darabanan, but if the whole idea of Xeris Darabanan are to protect the Raisas, if this Safik Darabanan could lead to the Raisa Viter, it's going to be also, even though it's a Safik Darabanan, because the lumdus to make an Xeris Darabanan would apply even by a Safik, if that could lead to Tzad. He's the Rashba says that being enabling a person to go take from this trap on Yantav, even though it's not clear it was trapped before Yantav, can lead to being Tzad on Yantav itself, and therefore the Safik Darabanan is Aser also a Gzera unto Tzad Daraisa. Magmish wants to say the issue over here is it's Davi Shishim Matirin. You're right, it's a Safik, and since Safik is only Safik Darabanan, should be Matir, but it'll be Matir tomorrow. So why should I rely on the Safik Darabanan of the Kula to be Matir today when I have Davi Shishim Matirin? It's Matir tomorrow. Obviously, you want it today, you want to eat it today, and today's when you need your meal. We get it. That wasn't lost on the Magen Mishnah, but the point is that we don't apply the dinim of Safik Darabanan of the Kula in a case of Shishim Matirin, when it has a Matir, especially when the Matir is as soon as the next day. Okay, so we're saying again.
Just one question. So this animal, you're saying the animal is Mukta?
Yes.
And if the animal, you know the animal is part of Yom Tov?
Then it's fine. Yeah. Elam became Yadash into the Bavantim, then it already prepared. If he knows it was caught before Yantiv, it's like any other animal you have set aside to Shech to use on Yantiv. That's prepared, and therefore it's not going to be Mukta. Well, Maisa Benachriach, this is very the Nachri. Shevi dug in Ragamil. A guy brought fish to Ragamil of Amr and said, Mutar Hain. Ragamil said, these fish are really Mutter. The guy brought the fish to Ragamil on Yantiv. Ragamil said, it's Mutter. El Shevi said, I don't want to accept it. Rashi says, you don't want to accept it. Why? Because Ani Saina, because I hate him. I'm at odds. He's an enemy of mine. I don't want to accept a gift from him because I have separate personal issues with this guy. But in Yisayin, Ragamil is saying, the fish is Mutter. Now, clearly, that is a direct steer to the first line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the first part of the Mishnah said that traps that were set up, if you know they're caught before Yantiv, great. If you don't know that they're caught before Yantiv, you can't use a Yantiv. And then we quote a story where Gamil says, the guy brought fish on Yantiv, which we had no clue if it was trapped before Yantiv or not. Really, it's Mutter, but I'm not going to take it because whatever reason, because Rashi says, because I don't like him. We're enemies. But the Pesach from Gamil, the direct stira, the Pesach from Tanakama, that you have to know it was trapped before Yom Tov. Mais Lister, ask the Gemara, you bring a Mais from Gamil as a stira to the first line of the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Chasir Mechaz Vachtani, the Mishnah is missing words, and like we put down in the past, missing words doesn't necessarily mean you plug in these words, it just means it was taught more B'derech Tzara, and it's missing the following context. Safek Hachtani, Safek Mukhan Aser, the Tanakama said, the Safek Mukhan is Aser Gamil, Matir Gamil is Matir. Two, three key words. Rangamil Taka's arguing on the Tanakhama. And then we bring a Maisa to back up. Rangamil Lishtasai, Maisami Menachayachad, Shevi Dagam Lamarmil, Vamar Maternay Lishtasai, he said it's Mutter, Lichatil's Mutter, El Shemit Sain Lichamino, I don't want to accept it from this, from the guy. Amrvi Dushmul, Elachamil, Halacha's not like Rangamil, meaning something which is a Safak Mukhan is going to be Aser. Safak Mukhan is Aser, like the Tanakhama. Vigid Maslaha, the Tanya, some say, and the Psak of Rabbi Dushmul was on the following. We learned that a Safak Mukhan, Ragamil Matar, Vishua, Aser. We have a Machlaikas, same Machlaikas. A Safak Mukhan, Ragamil is Matar, like we're saying in our Mishnah, and a Vishua is Aser. It wasn't Tanakama, Rabbi Shua, Aser's. I'm Rabbi Yudah Mishua, look Rabbi Shua. So this version, Rabbi Yudah Mishua is passing the same way. And Safak Mukhan is Aser, but he's attributing it to a name, he's attributing it to Rabbi Shua, not Ragamil. He's attributing to Rabbi Shua, Safak Mukhan is Aser. Vikid Maslan, some say a third version of Shmuel's Psak. Again, Shmuel is being machmir that was saying that it's something mufas aser, but a third version of it, Igid Master Hatatayim, on this we learned the following Baisa, top of Bays, Sheftin, Mina, Nigarim, Biamtiv. You could check the animals that are taken from Nigarim again are types of bivrin, types of enclosures. They usually are actually considered like ditches for irrigation, but over here we're using them in the term of as a term of enclosure. But you can't take from nets or traps. That's what Tanakhama says. Reb Shimon Elazar Eimer Ba Umatzah Mikukla Me'erev Yomtiv. If you found the nets move from this spot, and Erev Yomtiv Yidu Shem Erev Yomtiv Tzaydu. I mean, you didn't see the animal trapped, but you see the nets was already dislodged before Yomtiv. You know the animal was already trapped before Yomtiv, and therefore the animal is going to be permitted to use on Yomtiv. Umatzah Mikukla Me'yomtiv. If however you only came and found the nets shifted on Yom Tov, is when Yom Tov, when you saw that, it makes sense that what the trapping took place on Yom Tov itself, and therefore Vasurim, and it's Asur. Says the Margufa Kasha. That criteria is a stira. Why? Because the diukim, the inferences of each line, are opposite. The Mark explains. You found that the trap was already dislodged in Erev Yom Tov. That's a clear indication that it was trapped before Yom Tov. Make a dig time to Bar Matzah Mekukol Kolam. It must be because you found it already dislodged before Yom Tov. That's why you can be certain it was trapped before Yom Tov. Ha, Sveik Asurin. But if it was a Safik, if it was dislodged before Yom Tov, it would be Asur. Then the Sefer says, in the next line of that same opinion of Rishon Lazar says, Bar Matzah Mekukol Kolam Yom Tov, you found it dislodged on Yom Tov, then you can say for sure that on Yom Tov it got dislodged. Time to Bar Matzah Mekukol Kolam, only because you found it, that the nets were dislodged, that it's clear it became dislodged today. That's why it's Asur. Hasfeik, if it was a Safik, Mer Yom Tov, Nisayidu Matarim. Sounds like if it would be a Safik, that maybe it was ready from before Yom Tov, then it would be Matar. So the inference of the first line of Rishon Lazar is Mashma, that Sveika is Asur. The inference of the second line is Mashma, that Safik Mukhan is going to be Matar. Here's if to read this brisa. Bo matzah mekukolam erev yom tov. If you went and found the nets dislodged on erev yom tov, biyadua shem erev yom tov nisaydu. It's clear that obviously the animal trapped erev yom tov umetarim as mutter. However, ha sveika. If it's a suffix, nasa kemi. That's the sticking of those words into the brisa. Nasa kemi shesaydu biyadav pasurim. Once it's suffix, it's the same as if you know for sure it was trapped on yom tov. And just like when you know for sure trapped on yom tov is aser, so to a suffix is going to be aser. And on that, Amar Rabbi Shmuel lachem shemelaz lachem shemelazer that says. That Safik Mukhan is Asr. So really, Rabbi Shmuel said one halacha. His halacha was a Safik Mukhan. If it's a Safik, if it's a prepared not, is Asr. That's what Rabbi Shmuel is passing. And the question is, did he say it that he's agreeing with the Tanakhama of our Mishnah that says that? Was he agreeing to Rabbi Shua in the Brisa that says that? Or was he agreeing to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in this Brisa that says, that, but it's all the same Shita, that Safik Mukhan, a Safik, if it's prepared, is Asr. And again, like we explained, even though Safik Mukhan is only Safik of Dinah Muktzah, Muktzah is either a Drabbanon Chamer, Mukta, that's the Taisa Shanim, or it's Xera, because if we allow this, you may come to actually trap as a Rashba. So even though it's a Safik Darbanan, if it leads to direct Issa Dereisa, with Geyser, even on a Safik, or the Makabaga Mishnah says, the problem is that it's a Dover Sheishlai Matirin. Since it's a Dover Sheishlai Matirin, therefore it's not permissible on Yom Tov. Since it's a Dover Sheishlai Matirin, therefore it's not permissible on Yom Tov. Now, a quick point on the technical point, on our Gamil not wanting to take from the guy, so Rashi says because it was an enemy. Rashi says because it was an enemy. The first one a little bothered. Why don't we say the reason why he didn't want to take from the guy is because we have a klal of Seina Matanas Yichya. More right, Pasuk Mishlei, one who hates Matanas, one who doesn't want to take Matanas, he'll live a long life. There's a benefit. There's a instruction of Chazal of Mishlei not to take Shlomo Melch, not to take Matanas. So. Some want to say because it doesn't apply by Gaim. This was a Gai, rather than Nachri. By Gaim doesn't apply for some reason. Sematas Yichya doesn't apply by Gaim. It applies only by Yidden. Now, it could be totally a little bit in what the logic behind, what the ideas behind Sematas Yichya are. Rambam learns it's an issue of Betachin. Rambam learns it's an issue of Betachin. A person is supposed to feel that everything he gets, his full dependency is on a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and he needs no one else, and he's not dependent on anyone else. His full dependency is on a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and therefore accepting gifts, I'm sorry. Apologize about that. Accepting gifts are a stira to full dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore one should not take well, the ultimate chiyus is being dependent on Hashem. That's Rambam. Rabbi Bechai says it will lead to the person to chanifa. According to both, it's a sniff of something else. Meaning, either it detracts from our betachin. So the ikur you say is betachin, and matanah detracts from that, or it detracts from a person. The person who accepts gifts will end up becoming like gifts, and because he likes gifts, he'll end up becoming a person that's mechanif others, and it'll be a person that's busy with flattery. So they both are kind of the matanas himself, not the issue. It's what the matanas lead to, what it could represent to, is the problem. You have to know if that's the case, why accepting a matana from a guy should be any better. I don't really fully understand why that would make a difference between a yid or a guy, if the reasons are that we should explain from Rambam and Achai. But again, their explanation, they want to say why the Rashi didn't want to say that the matana wasn't accepted by Rabbi Gamil is because he's Sama Sinai, is because it's it was a guy. And by only this idea of Samta Zikya applies only by Yid, not by guy. That's someone that's been in Rashi. You have to have another reason, another explanation for the idea of Samta Zikya, if that is the case. Okay, let's ask Gemara's.
Just one quick question.
Sure.
All Matzah Mekukalim that you found in Mekukalim, it's masculine that only if I myself find it. Meaning, if you give me a Haggadah say that, by the way, I saw that your Mechmeiris, whatever it's called, was messed up Erev Shabbos. Oh, I can use it. No, because then it's still Muktzah.
Right. If you say if you don't know about it, you should have the same problem. And if you don't know about yourself, lemaisa, you could say then lemaisa, it would still be muktzah because, as far as you know, it wasn't prepared. And Rami, good point. Vamar matrim. So Gamil said that the stuff the guy brought is betzem mutter, but I don't want to take it. Mutter the mai. What does it mean? It's mutter. I'm Rav. I'm mutter lekabel. It's mutter to be accepted. I'm mutter lebechila. It's mutter even to be eaten. A person should not be absent from the Beis Medrash, even for one moment. Both Levi and I, they're Tamidim. Rav and Levi, we just had a couple days ago. Right? We said, remember Abba said the name of his Rebbe was Rav. We quoted him the next day also, remember Abba Rav. And the Amil Ikadami said it was Rav, who said, we asked B'yichud from his Rebbe, Rabbi Nagadol. And who's Rav's Rabbi Nagadol? Rebbe, right? Umanu Rebbe. So Rav's Rebbe was Rebbe, and as was Levi. Levi also, Levi, Chizkiah, Rav, they all Tamidim, Chia, they all Tamidim of Rebbe. That's why Rav is Tanu Palik. Right, because he's mamish the Rebbe was the end of the Tanayim, Rav's Tana Balik, and that's why the Brises, Rebbe's the amalgamated Mishnayos, but the authors of many of the Brises are Rav Chizkiah, Rav Ishia, right? Sometimes Levi. Okay. So Rav says, I and Levi were in front of Rebbe, Kamra ki Amra Lashmait, when he said this memra, Beurta, Amar Muta Mechila. So at night he said that Ragamil not only took it, it was Mutter even to be eaten. But with Safri in the morning, Amar Muta Mechabel, he switched it. He switched it and amended it to say that no, it's mutter to be accepted, not mutter to eat. Anadav in Russia, I was in the morning in the Beis Medrash as well. How'd you be? I saw that Rebbe was chayzer, therefore I'm chayzer now, and that you only accept it, you can't eat it. Levi, don't have a Beis Medrash, he didn't realize to retract that element, that you're not allowed to eat it, you only allowed to accept it, and therefore he missed that this year in the morning, and therefore he missed that nuance. Says the Gemara, a raya against Levi, that you cannot eat it. Meisvei, Nachri, Shevi, Darnley, Yisrael, a few dagam, I'm a fool, Lamim, who pairs me, Emim, even if it's fish that are so wet, and fruits that are picked that day, mutarim, it's mutter to accept the gift. It's mutter to accept the gift. So now, mutarim. Bishlamant amr mutarim lekabel shaper, emman mutarim achila, pres be yamim mishab achila. It makes sense the way Rav's learning that it's mutter to accept, but not mutter to eat. So, meaning, even though they'll be concerned that it was fresh, we're accepting it's not a problem. Like, eating it is a problem. But if you're like Levi, that the word mutter means mutter to accept and eat, nobody holds, but you know for sure it was just plucked off the tree on Yom Tov, it was for sure just trapped on Yom Tov, is a mutter. The whole reason why it's a mutter because it was a suffix. But if you know for sure it's from today, it's certainly miyasser. So, mutter by definition cannot mean mutter bachila. It must mean only mutter to accept. Says the moral tamech peiros beyamim misha betiltol. But what do you mean? If you know for sure the peiros were taken today, it shouldn't be mutter betiltol either. It should be muktzah betiltol as well. So you should be able to accept it either. Ella bekarvida dimi peiros tekvishi biarkas ginan. Must be we're talking about fish that are red and fruits that are wrapped in greens. V'amai karle beyamim shein keim beyamim. We just mean they're well protected, they're well preserved, but not mean they. Let's say the fruit were wrapped in greens right if they're picked, so to speak. So therefore they're well preserved, and therefore you have to go back to the regular same discussion that when a guy brings something and you have no reason to assume it's from today, you're able to according to Levi and according to Gamil, you let it accept it and you let it even eat it, assuming it's not from today. And Echanami, if you knew it's from today, you wouldn't be able to eat it. You wouldn't even have to accept it because it'd be muktzah. And therefore, we have no raya. We deflect the raya against Levi. The raya to Rav was deflect. The merchant speak more. I mean, let's read the next words. I'll stop. Amar Papa Hilchasa Nachu Shevi Dani Sod Biyamtiv Im Yesh Beis Amim Mechuber Aser Ul Erev Rami Asur Megdeshi Asu Fim Yesh Beis Amim Mechuber Mutter a Nachu that brings something for Yisrael. If that species is only found by Mechuber, then it's Aser. I should say only. If it's found by Mechuber, then it's Aser because we have to assume that perhaps it was detached. And it's even Aser, Amatz Yamtiv, Kadesh Yasu, the amount of time it would take to pluck it. Whereas if that species, you don't find any of it attached, most of it's already been plucked out from the fields, from the trees, it's already been detached, then as long as it's Techatchum, it's Mutter. Chosatchum, if it's Chosatchum, it's going to be Aser, top of Chafiyam Nalaf, Vababish for Yisrael Zeh. Mutter Yisrael Acher, big Yisrael, that which is ba on behalf of one Yisrael could be used by another Yisrael. Let's hold off on this. We'll explain this more on.